Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. His Majesty the Devil, as I am in the mind of some. Across from me is Mr.
I think your horns are particularly bright today.
Thank you.
Bright red color. Looks good look for you.
I've been rubbing them against trees to get them polished.
Would you mind moving the pitchfork, please?
I know. It looks like it's going to fall over. All right, so welcome on board. That would be, what, a triad? Is that what that thing's called?
I don't know, Satan. It's your material. You tell me.
All right.
Trident.
Thank you. All right, I appreciate that.
I thought
that was
a chewing gum.
It is.
Oh, okay.
But it was a trident before it was a pitchfork, long before it was a sugarless gum. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us as, 1, 2, 3, 4 individuals have done lately, so we are very much interested in reading those emails. And you can text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you're not a Text Connect member, you can sign up at WKOK.com. Text Connect is our way to keep you informed about emergencies. It's the things that will affect your life, your day, national breaking news, national local news, tornadic weather, road closures, you name it.
Denoted deceased?
Oh, yeah, that's right. This denoted? I love it. The DD category.
Noted deceased.
Oh, noted.
Well, denoted.
Well,
noted
they were
deceased.
Noted, but now they're denoted they're deceased. So, yeah, that's the dead celebrities is what they used to be called, but we stopped using that phrase altogether because it's callous.
So you just used it.
Only to talk about
only
history.
Only to say that you weren't going to use it.
Well, you're allowed. No, all these things are permissible if it's history.
Okay. I agree.
We had a vibrant discussion yesterday about naloxone. Joe sided with the fact that if you're going to make something like that available to some people, you should make some other key life-saving pivotal-type drugs, not everything, but pivotal drugs available to other individuals at little or no cost. And
in the last, since yesterday, since we were here, I hope people have talked to you and explained to you that you're actually enabling when you give this.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, that is true. Studies have shown that if naloxone does increase opioid use, there is a downside to it. Oh, there's probably quite a few downsides, as our good audience has pointed out. All of this is germane because the state is going to start distributing naloxone for free at state health centers. Now, there are no strings attached in terms of the cost, but individuals are asked to fill out a form that indicates where they will, how they'll be best deployed. They can voluntarily give their name if they wish to. They do not have to. They'll have an opportunity to.
What do you mean, how they'll be deployed? I thought there was only one reason to deploy them. Somebody was overdosed on opioids.
Right, but whether it'll be for them or a loved one or someone.
Somebody's going to walk in and say, yes, it's for me.
Right. What's wrong with that?
Well, they're admitting to drug use.
Well, drug use is legal in some cases. Some opioids are legal.
No, not addiction to it isn't legal if you're.
So if you get a prescription for fentanyl from your doctor and you become addicted to it, you become a lawbreaker?
Well, hopefully your doctor stops you long before you become addicted to it.
And guess what? They don't. All right?
I said hopefully.
Yeah, I was going to say. Anyway, so right, Joe thinks all drugs are illegal, but that is not true. Most opioids are perfectly legal, and most addiction is at least
well,
started
then
by legal drugs.
Apparently we need to
drugs.
Stop the doctors if that's the case, because if most of them are legal, then somehow they're being abused.
You know doctors have a whole new series of rules now, right?
And they should.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, the state has started to
so
work
what are
on
the
that
rules?
Topic. Oh, boy. There's limits on how much fentanyl and other opioids they can prescribe. They're reasonable limits. You know, it really isn't enough to support somebody heavily dependent.
So what about drug shoppers, people who go from doctor to doctor?
Yeah, you're required to keep all kinds of ID, and you're given an opioid consumption number, and if that pops up elsewhere, that you'll be flagged as an individual.
Well, then doesn't that solve the problem? Haven't we solved it right there?
It reduces it. Yeah, I think it does reduce the problem. It makes it much more difficult for individuals who are hooked on opioids or
to get them
other,
legally.
Right, to get them
and that
legally.
Goes back
or, well,
to my original
at all.
They're mostly illegal drugs that are on that
right,
they're
and
using
then
now.
Illegal drugs take over. Yeah, Joe, this is a multifaceted issue, so you haven't come across any big revelation that doctors have been restricted in Pennsylvania. Of course, this is that rule we talked about where Harrisburg likes to reach into your medicine chest and monitor not just the opioids you use, but all the prescriptions, and to keep a database so that they can look you up and say, okay, Joe McGranahan, he's got, you know, what's a good blood pressure medicine? Simvastatin? Oh, no, that's cholesterol. Plus,
no,
you know,
there's potassium, lecithin, potassium.
All right, well, whatever it is. So, you know, Joe's got a blood pressure medicine, a cholesterol medicine. He's got
a
baldness medicine,
medicine
an obesity medicine. All of which are working quite well.
I tried the baldness medicine, if you're talking to Rogaine. I had a crop failure.
It had a side effect.
It didn't have a side effect, just didn't grow anything.
Okay. Irritability didn't follow?
Well, it's starting to weigh in now,
I can tell you that. All right, anyway, back to all the way to naloxone. The state's distributing naloxone for free today. No strings attached. If individuals are willing to volunteer some information about how they'll deploy it, they're asked to do so. And some of the deployments will be for individuals
so
who are using illegal drugs.
They don't care what you're going to do with it.
No, they want you to save lives with
it. So if I get it, and then I put it up for sale. I run a little ad in some underground paper saying, I've got a good supply of this that I got for free, but I'm going to charge you $25 a shot for it. They don't have a problem with that?
I would think that a secondary market for it's still a prescription drug, believe it or not.
There's a limit, too. There's only $3 million worth, right?
Well, $5 million is the program, but, of course,
okay.
The State Department of Health sucked
administration
up half
fees,
the money, right? So not all of it went for the drug. Well, and my lovely bride asked this question several times. What happens when the $5 million runs out? You know, you've established the fact that you think this is a critically important life-saving opportunity. Are you going to keep it going or
maybe
keep funding it?
Maybe it's a pilot program. They'll see what happens after they spend the $5 million.
We do have some emails related to this, but
yes,
we'll
we
take
do.
Calls. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. As you can tell by Joe's learned and common sense remarks, he's not in favor of the distribution of free naloxone in Pennsylvania, and citing very aptly, as he just did, the fact that it does increase opioid use among individuals who are addicted. That has been empirically shown to be true. So that's, you know, not just a speculative thing that you could think of. So that's true. And I am simply on the side that I think it's a good program. Yes, it's expensive, but I do believe that it's a lifesaver. And if individuals wish to ever survive, to be rehabilitated, they have to be alive. And if you let them die, then, you know, that's an opportunity that you'll lose. Some individuals, as our good caller Cindy pointed out yesterday, all individuals that are doing this 100% by their choice. Why should we weigh in, especially at our cost, and supersede their decision to use this or whatever? But, you know, these are individuals with a disease of addiction, so I think we should help anybody we could. All right, so we'll take callers on this. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. I am probably only with about 5% of our Valley residents who think this is a good idea. Of course, our state lawmakers are in favor of it.
Well, it's a good idea, but with provisos. I mean, there need to be...
You want strings attached. Plus, you want your free EpiPen.
Well, I think that, you know, if we're going to save lives, let's save lives.
You want your universal health care, which I was surprised.
I don't want universal health care.
You want free medicine for everybody.
Oh, I'm just saying, if we're giving to one, how do we justify not giving to another? I'm talking about the precedent it creates.
Right.
We're saying that people who take opioids illegally somehow are more important to society than people who have a serious problem with an allergy.
With other allergies, like peanuts or
through no fault of their
beehives,
own. Nobody I know goes out and actually finds a way to acquire a peanut allergy or a bee sting allergy. I mean, you're born mm-hmm. with it. You know, you talk a lot on this program about people who are gay or transgender and the fact that they can't, it's not a choice they make, it's a genetic thing. Well, that's the case here. Having an allergy to peanuts or to something like that is not
that's
something
fine,
you were born to do.
I've already conceded. I made it clear yesterday, and I'm all for it. If you think there's anybody out there that can't afford the EpiPen but needs it in a life-saving capacity, they should have it.
So now you're talking socialized medicine. Everybody gets everything.
I'm just agreeing with you. That's all.
Agreeing with me. You're taking it a step or two beyond where I am.
No, I just said anybody who can't afford an EpiPen and needs it in a life-saving capacity for allergies or bee stings.
But that isn't my argument. My argument is that the price of these things needs to be brought down to the point where people can't afford them.
What's that? The EpiPen?
The EpiPen. There was no excuse for the cost of
that escalating. Well, that's a whole other argument.
But it's still the same thing. It's availability of needed medications for people who have serious medical issues that need to be addressed. And I agree with you. I think addiction is a serious medical issue that needs to be addressed. I don't think the proper way to address it is to hand out free drugs that actually enable the person to continue using the thing that brought him to the point of near death anyway.
But actually in many cases, prevents them from dying. So this help that you think, or this solution that you think is noteworthy, and you know this idea that we should address this issue, what good does it do if you've allowed someone to die?
What the good does it do if you allow someone to die from bee sting?
Give them their EpiPen, will you? Give them their EpiPen,
I see why
EpiPen,
they call
okay?
you the devil now. But your horns are growing, actually.
All right. Emails, please. The
All
first
right.
one.
Dave on the Hill says, the argument is made that drugs to fight cancer should be free, too, not just this treatment for use of illegal street drugs.
Well, I think for individuals that don't have any insurance, cancer-curing drugs are free. Don't you get Medicare if you're in a situation where you can't afford your medical care?
I don't believe that's the case, but it could be.
So if you get cancer and you are a pauper, you go to the hospital and say, "I'm sorry,
you'll
I have cancer."
You'll get some treatment, but I don't know that you'll get everything they
have to
offer.
They won't save your life.
Well, they might, but I don't know that you'll get everything they have to offer.
I think you do. Let's ask Cindy. Cindy, before you give your actual comment that you called
Medicaid.
For. Right, Medicaid. Right, yeah, Medicaid. Yeah,
Medicaid. Okay. Medicaid is for old people like Joe. Medicaid.
Thank you, Cindy. Merry Christmas
welcome,
to you, too.
After 65, you go on Medicare. Before that, if you're impoverished, you go on Medicaid. You can, which is health insurance for poor people, which is paid for by everyone else.
Okay. I always remember because they're alphabetical. Aid comes before care. So that would become for young people, and care is for old people like Jill. Okay. So individuals are getting cancer care for free, as our good listener suggested. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, some people who are indigent, who are poor, get cancer care for free. Children who go to the Hershey Medical Center get cancer care for free, thanks to Thon and the family's health insurance, if they have any. You go to Shriners, you get cancer care for free. There are programs all across the country that provide that kind of assistance to people. Does everyone get care for free? No. And, you know, when they talk about universal healthcare. They pretend like it's free. It might be free for you if you pay zero taxes, but if you pay taxes, you're paying for it. So the only question is, do you want to have a choice about the kind of coverage you have and how much you're going to pay for it, or do you want to be forced to chip into this massive pot? And you'll have no control over how much that is. And in many countries with this kind of health insurance, their taxes come close to 50% of your income. For just about everybody. So think real hard about that. It's not going to be free. That's a misnomer. It's not free at all.
Okay.
But I wanted to say this. Joe, the good news is that another manufacturer has come forward with a similar product to the EpiPen.
Well, that is
so
good
now
news.
There's competition, and there will be an alternative available to people. Now, what we really need to do is what I've heard President Trump wanting to do, which is take on the whole pharmaceutical industry. You know, who's going to win? Who's going to get the windfall when we spend $5 million to buy naloxone and hand it out through the state?
The drug company.
Who makes the money? The
right.
drug companies. Right. They can't believe their luck. They are partying. They're going to have Christmas parties to beat the band because the government has decided to take our money, use it in this resource, which just directly purchases this product from those companies, and then hand it out for free.
Yeah.
Which, I hope we got a volume discount.
I doubt that because
doubt
the government
it, okay.
doesn't work that way. Remember that during the Bush administration, they handcuffed the government about negotiating for better drug prices for Medicare patients. Handcuffed them. The Congress did this. Our representatives stuck it to us and then made rules you can't get drugs out of the country. And, you know, they have created this rat's maze about getting to a medication because they're so...
Well, that's
so
not very good representation.
With the pharmaceutical companies.
That's not
so
very good representation.
Who's winning with this naloxone program? This naloxone program? The people who make naloxone. They can't be happier about it. That's
right.
how I
They should be. I
All
mean,
right.
what the heck? Yeah, I agree with you. They're getting a real windfall here.
Yes, right. they are. A huge windfall. Imagine if all 50 states did this. Hundreds of millions of dollars pouring into their coffers. You know, they and for what? And half of it, I'm sure, is going to outdate on people's shelves, and then they'll say, oh, we got to do this again. And so they'll be handing it all out for free again.
And
so it's really delivered no social value, but except that if you manufacture that product and sell it here in this country, hey, it's a windfall to you. What
and
do you care what happens
And
after
absent
you?
Some sort of requirement that the people who consume it get some further treatment that might stop their addiction, it's a never-ending cycle.
Well, Joe, I addressed that yesterday. You know, I know people think they can save these people, and I'm sorry, but you cannot. The only person who can save a drug addict is that person. That individual has to decide they don't want that life anymore. And it's a hard slog. Don't make a mistake about that. I'm not trivializing that. But you can't impose that on anyone. The only people we've actually detoxed are people we stick in prison, and perhaps this explains why there's such a drug culture problem in prison, right? People smuggling in drugs into the prisons? Well, because we incarcerate a lot of these addicts where we have more control over their lives, and therefore they have less access to drugs, which is why they embed it in book pages now, for heaven's sake.
All right, so
anyway.
All of this is an aside. Now your actual call begins.
No, that was my
Oh, that was it. Okay, that were,
yes.
you know, it's
Who's
all by
winning?
Choice.
That's my theme. Who's really winning? You know, and I agree with Joe. How is this the priority when there are people with life-threatening problems? And yes, if you have an allergic reaction, which requires adrenaline, it can kill you in minutes, the same kind of minutes that you can be sedated till you stop breathing taking a narcotic. Very same thing.
What's in an EpiPen?
Adrenaline.
Just plain adrenaline, just like.
Well,
just
it's
like
adrenaline. We in the medical field like to call it epinephrine, but basically you call it adrenaline.
Okay.
Right. And when that came up in the first place, I said, well, you don't have to have the magic pen. You could just give it yourself, right? You can have a vial and a syringe, draw it up, and give it to the person. That's what we do in the hospital. We don't use EpiPens. So, but now there's a competitor, Joe, so sleep well because that person... First of all, the product is available, and secondly, I do believe competition, unless, of course, the government chooses to regulate the daylights out of it, can actually drive down the price.
Yeah.
And they put that man who did that in prison, not for raising the price of that medication, but for a plethora of other crimes that he had committed.
Well, I think his biggest crime was raising the price for no good reason, and I hope he stays in jail for a good long time.
All right.
I do, too.
Thank
you know, there's a program... People really need to look at what's happening to the cost of drugs and these intermediary agencies, right? The pharmaceutical company makes the drug, and now there's this intermediary who interferes with the price and doubles, triples the price of it before it ends up in the pharmacy.
I saw that this week. Eugene DePasquale is going after him.
Yes, right. And those are the people who are driving up the price of drugs. And and while I'm loath to call for government regulation, frankly, I think that they should be put out of business because, you know, they're the Shylocks of this entire situation, as far as I'm concerned.
I didn't even realize they existed, I'm ashamed to admit. But, he tells quite a tale, and we'll have to look on that. Yeah, he's agreed to an interview next year, incidentally. Eugene DePasquale will probably be here in person.
Fascinating to hear how he's going to tackle that. So,
Well, I think, you know, it's the government. They can force me to buy insurance. They can force those people out of business. They've done it to other people. They've eliminated other industries, like the incandescent light bulb. So they can pass a law to put those people out of business, and they should. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, thank
Thanks
you so much. Appreciate
your call.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Call us immediately. That's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Mark Lawrence here. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from me, the clackety clacker in chief. Mr. Matt Catrillo is over in the newsroom. Believe it or don't, we got an email that related to young Matt from Dan. Hold on, Joe.
I found it.
There
right
you
here.
Go. It says, I saw clackety clack Catrillo on Channel 8 last night. Oh, thank you. Well, it's clackety clack. I'm sorry to have to make a correction of a good email.
Well, that's not what our emailer said.
Well, anyway, clackety clack Catrillo on Channel 8. Yeah, SCC TV 8 basketball last night, covering the Shamokin Sealinsko basketball game. He seemed to be a bit of a homer for the Seals, who lost 90-63. Does he ever sleep? Well, first of all, being a homer, I don't know if he's a homer, but he likes Sam Haddon, who's the son of the owner. So that's. I wondered if that might be a conflict. And no, Matt does not sleep. He probably got home about midnight and was back in the newsroom at 5, so I don't know how he would do it.
Well, Sam's a good, tall kid. He's probably a great basketball player.
No, that's right. I agree. I'm bullish on Sam, too. All right, so that's that. We do have 4 emails that relate to our topic. Joe, knock them down.
Okay. One says, good morning. I believe there is a very expensive drug the state is giving out for free. As a taxpayer, I should have been able to vote if I wanted to pay for this. If someone chooses to overdose on some poisonous drug, let them pay for it.
Well, I think you do vote for it when you vote for your state representatives and the governor and they favor it. If you don't like what they're doing, vote them out.
Was this an actual bill or was this a governor's proposal that he allocated funding for from some other pot?
I think it was in the state budget.
It was in the state budget.
Okay. I believe so. Let me triple check on that.
All right. Another writer says, isn't it enough to have to listen to Cindy on the phone? Now we have to listen to her live for an entire show. That's unkind because another person says, go, Cindy. You're right on the mark. So today's program is what talk radio is all about. I applaud all the callers for stepping up with their opinions. I'm very thankful Cindy is a listener and caller. Her common sense approach based on education and personal experiences always make the show better. Looking forward to tomorrow's show. So Cindy's like us. She has people who like her, people who don't. I have people who like me and hate you and people who hate you and like me.
I hope hate's not the real word, though.
Well, it's, you know, it's like professional wrestling. today you win, tomorrow you lose. You know, not
no.
that I want to insult.
No, I just don't want anybody to hate anybody.
Fans. Okay, right. It's all love and peace in Marktopia anyway, isn't it?
Oh, very much so.
Yes, I thought so. Everybody there, the unicorns are out in full flower again this year.
Here's the keeper comment from yesterday.
Number one, Mark, I think you're wrong. You're off your rocker. Your morals, Christianity, I just think you've been corrupted. You really have lost my faith in you as the host of this show as of today.
And then you're the Satan, too.
Oh, yeah, the devil incarnate.
Right. It says, Mark cannot even refrain from scolding a caller for using the word division and corrects him to the word faction because it suits Marktopian values. You see what I mean by your totalitarian mindset?
I gotcha. Well, he's right on that.
Hell is a totalitarian.
I didn't really correct him, but I did try to find a better word, but I don't think we found one. Faction's not quite right. But you're right. I am totalitarian. I would like everybody to be happy.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Isn't that sweet? All right. When we were talking about Nancy Pelosi and our good president, one of our listeners sent this note.
Says, good morning, fellas. I just saw on TV the meeting between our great president and Schumer and Pelosi. She still calls a border wall immoral. Can you believe that? These two crooks gave the Iranians $150 billion, and for what? $150 billion gift wrap to Iran to be used against us, and they won't give our president $4 or $5 billion for border security. This is a matter of national security, by gum. This is what happens when you vote for Kool-Aid drinking liberal Democrats. What a disgrace. Will we never learn? Right. Signed, David.
Well, thank you, David, and everyone else who's sending an email. Keep them coming. We got another hour of the show. We're going to wrap up our discussion.
We like phone calls better.
We're going to wrap up our discussion, and we have a new poll that says the president is wildly popular. So we'll debunk that myth shortly on WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is across from me. Mr. Matt Cotrillo is in the newsroom and Mr. Rob Center is in the newsroom. And we have our
He's not. He's in the producer. He's not in the newsroom.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the phone was ringing, but
if he's in the newsroom, we've got a problem because we don't have a producer.
All right. Please call us immediately on the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. It is sponsored by Terry out at the Shade Mountain Pharmacy on Route 35, Tyler out at Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg, Steve at the Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street in Northumberland, Kathy at the Danville Pharmacy on Mill Street in Danville, Jennifer at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street in Bloomsburg, and Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy on 2nd Street in Lewisburg. I give you their first names because they are very important for you to know on a first name basis. Of course, you can know their name. They'll have a name tag on, but you will be able to talk to them about anything personal and in private, and they'll tell you about any drug interactions, or they'll tell you about how to get a prescription for something that may help, and they'll tell you that a certain drug that maybe you're prescribed could have a side effect that's related to something else you're taking, and they really get all of that. So the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, sponsored by these individuals, that phone is ringing, so make it ring again, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. That is our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, sponsored by those wonderful individuals at these great hometown pharmacies. You can also email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and our show is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. You can also text us at 70236. Some news headlines. After performing unannounced work on the Veterans Memorial Bridge last week, PennDOT's setting up shop again today on the Priestley Memorial Bridge, which is Route 61 North into Shamokin Dam. It's for debris removal, and they say they'll be there most of the day today to try to make sure that they get the rest of that debris out of the way. They have not set up yet, so far so good on the Veterans Bridge, but in the hours ahead, that may change.
Excuse me, you said two bridges, Priestley and...
Oh, did I say Priestley? Oh, yeah, I got Priestley on the brain. Yeah, that was yesterday. That's finished. I'm sorry, Veterans. Just Veterans. Good catch.
Okay.
Pay attention, Lawrence.
Me. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get to lunch, and you're confusing me.
Well, and what day does a sentence rely on nouns? I mean, if you interchange them with other words...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. There was a big fire in Phoenix, Arizona yesterday. No.
It was actually closer to home.
Right. Actually, there was no fire yesterday, so we're good. All right. A Valley native is stepping in to help oversee the Diocese of Harrisburg Youth Protection Programs. Retired Captain Janet McNeil, a Milton native, says first she'll look into the past to see what went wrong.
When I look at the old reports of abuse and hear what the victims have to say, then I can figure out where the wheels fell off on this or where mistakes were made, intentional as in terms of cover-up or even just lack of knowledge and understand about sex offending behavior and treatment.
She also talked to individuals who were victims to find out if they are survivors yet.
So I can direct them to resource and assistance and all those types of things to help them moving forward. Because my goal for every single one of these victims is have them, instead of saying, I am a victim, they can say, I was a victim.
You can hear her entire interview on a podcast posted at WKOK.com. From Philadelphia, the question, is good moral character required to wax eyebrows or give facials? In the state of Pennsylvania, it is, and two women denied licenses to work as cosmetologists because they ran afoul of the regulation are challenging the law in court. Courtney Havman and Amanda Spillane filed the suit yesterday with the help of a nonprofit law firm, the Institute for Justice, claiming the state's good moral character requirement for cosmetologists is unfair and unconstitutional. The women both suffered from addictions in the past, which led to criminal records. Havman said her addiction to alcohol led to a number of misdemeanor infractions that inspired her to turn her life around. She's been sober for over 5 years, got married, had a baby, now mentors women who struggle with alcohol abuse. She decided to pursue a career in cosmetology, completed beauty school, and had a job lined up at a salon, only to find out that her license application was denied because she was addicted and has a criminal record. That means the state views her as having a poor moral character, and individuals who are immoral cannot wax eyebrows or give facials or cut hair. She said, quote, I made mistakes in the past. I paid my dues. I had learned and grown from them. She said at a press conference Wednesday announcing that lawsuit.
So we give you naloxone to save your life, but then you can't be a cosmetologist.
Well, if you get arrested, a lot of times they revive people and they get them to a hospital. You know, you're not done then. And the cops say many times they don't follow up, you know, even though they know the individual's probably...
But they're coming down on this poor woman because who turned her life around and won't give her a cosmetology
Well,
license.
She's immoral. That's the dilemma.
In their view.
Right. They have a morality
so
clause.
So what about the fact that she's turned her life around, straightened herself out? So we're going to hold this against her for the rest of her life?
Well, she's immoral. Plus, she can't work at Lord's Regional either. She'd fail the morality clause there.
All right.
All right. We do have one other brief headline. Melania Trump made history Wednesday by flying a V-22 Osprey aircraft onto the deck of an aircraft carrier. The White House says it's the first time a First Lady has flown in an Osprey. The tilt-rotor aircraft takes off and lands vertically. Mrs. Trump flew from Joint Base Anacostia Bowling in Washington to Joint Base Langley Estes in Hampton, Virginia, onto the deck of the USS George H.W. Bush and back. She later tweeted about her incredible flight and her visit with the many service members for whom she thanked them for their wonderful service.
She was the pilot?
It says she made history by flying.
Okay.
Later, it's one reference says she was on board, but then later it says she was at the helm and at the controls for most of both flights.
Oh, all right. So she's obviously a very accomplished pilot as well.
Well, if there's one thing we know about the Osprey and its terrible history in the past is that it's heavily dependent on computer operation. Individuals apparently can't fly this. You need the computers to be doing everything all at the same time. So I think she just said, okay, take me to point B.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for waiting through all of that, John. We do appreciate it. But now you're on the mark talking about our naloxone topic.
Good morning. Yeah, I was thinking about the idea that naloxone is an enabler, I think, is absurd. You know, it's the last-ditch effort to save somebody who's in a medical emergency. I guess it would be similar if there's quite a few car accidents because people are texting. I suppose if EMTs arrive at the scene and they see a cell phone, they can let the in the front seat of someone's car, they can let them bleed out, you know, because we don't want to enable texting while driving. So, there was a study I saw that when naloxone was prescribed for long-term opioid users who were, you know, under the care of a primary physician, it said from that 63% fewer emergency room visits when people had that available. So I don't know what the percentage is for drug addicts who typically would have Medicaid, if anything, what the decline in emergency room visits would be. But if those that are obsessed about money, that's the guiding factor in all our decisions. We save money by having people access naloxone rather than going to the ER, where it's much more expensive. So, any other...
But don't they require follow-up treatment if they've been given naloxone? They don't just let them go. They're required to get some additional medical treatment, aren't they?
You cannot involuntarily commit someone.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the naloxone will reverse the effects, but then they still have something in their system that has to be dealt with.
Of course, yeah. It's not a treatment. Naloxone is just a life-saving step. It's not a treatment for addiction. Treatment for addiction is viable. I mean, there's libraries full of treatment studies, and you know, treatment for addiction works. I mean, alcohol is a drug. There's millions of alcoholics that are sober, and it's ether with water in it. So you know, alcohol is a drug. All these other drugs, treatments available, and you know, but you can't treat somebody if they're dead. And everybody gets kicked into treatment, you know, or sobriety, whether it's through a physical problem, a legal problem, a family problem, an employer problem. So nobody, you know, typically just wakes up in the morning and, you know, figures they want to be rigorously honest with a stranger, you know, about their drug use. People get kicked into treatment and recovery from dire consequences, you know, as a factor in their drug or alcohol use. So...
Go ahead. Well, thank you. We appreciate
your call.
Yeah, thanks for checking in. Good
giving
points
us the other
all.
Side of this coin, so thank you.
Okay.
Do appreciate that. Next on the line, State Senator Gene Yaw is on the line. Thank you so much for calling. This is an invited call. I told you we were talking about this extensively yesterday and invited you to call today. So I do appreciate you checking in. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Glad to do it.
And for those who don't know, Senator Yaw has been all over this topic and proposing some legislation that's made it through, some that has not yet made it through, but all of which addresses the opioid crisis about which he has been spending a lot of time gathering information and is quite knowledgeable. So let's start out with the free naloxone at state health centers. Your view on that, Senator Yaw?
Well, you know, I think it's a good idea to get more naloxone out, and to it's already been observed by you or Joe or some of the callers. It's a life-saving drug, and you know, the more you get it out where people can use it without fear of you know, somebody overdosing, and this applies also to senior citizens who may mistakenly, you know, overdose on their own legitimate drugs. And the idea of having it in the home, I think it's a preventative measure. I look at it as not being much different than having some other, you know, drug, aspirin or something like that in your home. And the reason I say that is because, you know, this drug epidemic is so pervasive in our society now, I think we really need to look at it as like, okay, we need something in the home to take care of it, or not take care of it, but to protect against it.
What about the theory that distributing the naloxone enables or increases the number of opioids used? There is some evidence that that may be true, but of course its life-saving aspects are never diminished by repeated use or more opioid use.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing, and I've heard that, you know, some drug dealers give out heroin or fentanyl with, you know, free shots of naloxone with it. When I say shots, I mean free doses of naloxone with it. But weighing the two, if you can save somebody's life, I mean, that's what I look at. I look at that. It's also like saying that the heart attack people should not be eating, you know, some of the fast food sandwiches that are out there, and I won't mention any of them in particular. Well, you know, we don't cut them out for people and say it's bad for you because you might have a heart attack if you eat this. So I think having this available is a plus. I don't think that it addresses the real issue, though, that we're dealing with, and that is we need to wake up and treat it like a disease, just like we treat any other disease. And if we do that, then the fact that naloxone's out there, you know, it's something that's used to treat a particular disease, a particular ramification of a disease, and that's what we need to look at.
But, Gene, aren't we kind of giving up on the root cause of this, the fact that, you know, this is largely an illegal industry, people are abusing it, and we're focusing on trying to keep people from harming themselves, but what are we doing to stop the traffic?
Well, this whole thing has two parts to it. There's a supply issue, and that's where police, the DEA, and everybody else is involved. Prisons and all that, that's the supply side. The demand side is something we need to look at socially, and that's where I said we need to look at it like a disease. There's significant studies out there now that indicate that this is a brain disease, and every one of us is different. We have a different makeup. It's just like, you know, I don't know what drugs you may or may not take. I have to take blood pressure medicine, and it's because whatever my body reacts or has reacted to whatever I do in a way that my blood pressure is not right. Some people don't process sugars properly, and they have to take insulin every day. Well, what happens with drug addicts, and unfortunately, some of us have a makeup that respond and almost immediately to opioids. And once that happens, there's significant evidence also that people can become addicted in as little as 10 days. So once these brain cells are open and you have that addiction craving, it's probably not ever going to stop. And that's what we need to address. The same as we provide prescriptions of insulin or for diabetics, if you are a drug addict and you're addicted to opioids, we need to look at it in the same way. Now, I'm not so naive that we're going to save the entire population. There's a certain segment of the population that are criminals. They've been criminals, you know, for thousands of years. We've always had a criminal element in our society. But I'm worried about the people who become unintentionally addicted as a result of taking a prescription drug or trying something and not realizing what the effect is going to be once these brain cells are affected in your head. Those are the people that I really want to help and try and some of the legislation and everything that we've done. Those are the people I want to look at, and I think that they're the ones that we need to change the attitude how we look at it.
Well, the naloxone works beautifully, but it requires someone else to be present. You can't administer it to yourself, right? So shouldn't that person be trying to stop the drug from being ingested in the first place?
Well, I in the ideal world, maybe that would be the case. But, you know, if you happen to be with a friend or something like that, and you could be partying or whatever, and the person overdoses, I don't think we want to stop the person. I'll tell you where that came from. Some of the background for that particular law involving naloxone we had a hearing, I think it was the St. Francis University in near Ebensburg, and there was a mother there whose son had died of an overdose, and the way it happened was he was out with his friends. One night, Saturday night or something, there were four or five of them, and he overdosed, and everybody was afraid that they would get in trouble if they took him to the hospital or called for help. So they did nothing, and as a result, he died of an overdose. And his mother was convinced that had the Good Samaritan Law, as it's written now, had that been in existence, he'd still be alive, because they could have taken him to the hospital, helped him. Now, should they have stopped him at the beginning? Maybe, but I'm not sure that, you know, that's like going out and having a drink with somebody and then saying, you know, I'm going to monitor what you drink. And I don't think our society is at that point yet.
One of our listeners asks how much this is costing. How much does it cost to distribute free naloxone statewide? The governor used a $5 million figure, but what's your remark on that?
Yeah, that's a good question, but I really don't have a handle on it. If the governor says that, I'd probably go along with that. Naloxone, I think per usage is around somewhere between $40 and $80. So every time it's used, there's no question there's an expense to it. But, you know, the flip side of it is, what are we going to do with these people if, are we going to let them die? And I opt out to try and save as many people as possible. That's just where I come from.
All right. Last question is, you've been hard at work in the past couple of years with legislation that relates to opioids. Some of it has become law. Some of it has not yet become law. Tell us briefly as you can what the elements that you're still pushing for and what are some of the successful efforts that you've had.
Well, the Good Samaritan Law, which is one of them, that's been a success. I think restricting emergency room prescriptions of opioids to no more than 7 days has been a success. The minors to no more than 7 days, plus parents or guardians have to have counseling. There's no question about it that those have been very successful. And there's not going to be an immediate overnight fix to this. We got in this pickle over 20 years. And what I've told many, many people is that if we can make a change in 10 years, I will be happy. Things I'm working on right now is a 7-day prescription across the board, no more than 7 days of opioids. There's a study out that was done that said if you have a prescription of opioids that's longer than 10 days, the chances are double that it within 1 year you will still be on opioids. So, it's just a drug that has an effect on people's heads that creates this craving that you can't stop. The other thing that we are working on is prescription guidelines. We want to make the governor's voluntary prescription guidelines mandatory. That all medical providers have to follow certain prescriptions. They have to have certain training. I mean, we've got tons of things like that out there. Remember, before we passed the law on it, that doctors received virtually no training. In fact, veterinarians had more training in pain management than medical doctors. Well, they now have to undergo pain management and dispensing training in order to maintain their licenses. It's now mandatory in medical schools in Pennsylvania. So we've had a lot of success, but as I said, it's a huge problem, and we just need to keep working on it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Senator. Y'all very much appreciated. Thank you for checking in. Appreciate you responding. 23rd District State Representative Senator from Williamsport.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to demote you. After all you've done, we got to demote you. Sorry, buddy.
Take care, Gene.
Thank you so much, Senator Yaw. If folks want more information, I was just looking at his website, SenatorGeneYaw.com. It has an opioid section where it just goes through point by point different pieces of legislation that have been introduced. introduced, some that have been passed, some that were soundly rejected. That happened earlier this summer. I guess it was the spring that one of the laws that the senator was promoting was rejected. So he's got all that information there. We are going to take a quickie break. When we come back, I've got to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
You're rattling a paper. Traffic started to back up on the Veterans Memorial Bridge going northbound on Route 61. So folks are slowed at this moment getting into Shamokin Dam. And the work is primarily on the Sunbury side. I think that is probably good news because last week it was on the Shamokin Dam side. So maybe they're nearing completion. Maybe they're almost done with this debacleization.
Well, it's only backed up on the ramp and a little bit across the bridge. So far, it's not backing up Front Street.
So we don't have the hours of delays.
Not yet.
Fortunately, hopefully that won't. Well, we warned enough people. And the detours to go to Northumberland. Hey, On the Mark's brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out lots more at sunburymotors.com. That's what I'm going to talk about right now. sunburymotors.com. Now, you do not have to visit the lots on Front Street on Routes 11 and 15 or on 4th Street to find out about the fact that they have hundreds of brand new vehicles all ready to go, dozens of pictures of each ready for you to look at. You do not have to go out in the cold weather to check out the pre-owned vehicles at either lot because everything they have related to these vehicles is right online. So you can go to sunburymotors.com, click on pre-owned if you want to check a vehicle that's gone through their 100-point check and is 100% clean and ready to go and is a reliable newer vehicle, or you want to build a Ford car or truck, a Hyundai, a Kia, or a Lincoln, you can do so. Or you can look at, you can look at the new vehicles that are ready to go on the lot. So you have a couple of choices there. But the bottom line is that you're starting out at sunburymotors.com. Every single one of your car needs will be met. And even if you're just keeping your existing vehicle, you make your appointment at the quick lane, schedule some body work, get you pumped up with nitrogen, and they'll get you inspected too. So your inspections too. So you can do all of that at sunburymotors.com. Al, thank you for being patient. You are on the mark. Go right ahead.
Good morning, guys. And I'm going to tell you guys and everybody, I guess, something a little personal. But I had broken my back and my ribs one point, and then another time I fell, dislocated my shoulder, and cracked my humerus. And had severe trauma to the left side of my chest. And another time I fell and bashed my head off of a rock.
Boy, you're like an OSHA. Sarah, I'm very accident prone.
Had compression fractures of the third lumbar and cracked two vertebrae and ribs at the same time. So that's a lot of pain. And I was on opioids 4 different times and over 10 days, and yes, it's a euphoria that's great. You can work like a banshee, think you're wonderful and everything else, but then when you find out that you're looking for it around the clock and you need it the next morning, I went to my doctor and I said, oh, I can just quit. I couldn't just quit. He had to wean me down, and I had to get weaned down several times, but I used it for what it was meant for. And now I'm just very, very cautious, and I just don't try not to fall anymore, but crash and burn.
Have you heard of safety ropes?
Anyways, I just take like regular Tylenol or Sudafed or anything like that, and really, really gun shy of any opioids, because I do know how easy it can be to get yourself addicted to them.
So it does happen. Well, and I think you share the same caution that a lot of people have now because of all of this. If you get a typical patient like you or I or a Joe, they, you know, have an operation or have a bone break or something, and an opioid is prescribed, they're scared to death to take it.
But the point is, you didn't break the law. You used it for a reason, and you had a legitimate prescription. And I doubt that you ever were a candidate for naloxone.
No, I wouldn't have been, because, you know, my dear, lovely wife was in charge of the pills, and that's the way it has to be. You almost have to give somebody authority over those pills that you trust, and regulate yourself, and your family has to, you know, give you support when you're into that, and you have to be aware that you are playing with fire. It will help at the time, and I had an operation before where, you know, I lost a big portion of my bowels, and I had to take care of business by taking care of myself and the pain so I could get better.
And your health.
But you just have to be very aware of what you're getting into. And the euphoria, I can see where the young guys get the euphoria, because I know another young guy that was in an accident, and he's on the opioids for a year, and I think the doctors just give you too many. The one time in my experience, the doctor gave me, I think I was up to 240 pills that they prescribed to me.
Wow.
Over a period of time. And, you know, I'm off of them now, thank God, and you know, I never really did get addicted. I mean, I was addicted, but I didn't let it turn into a problem. I knew, okay, now I got to get myself off of these.
Okay.
Just like smoking cigarettes or drinking beer.
Please,
I quit both of them, and the only thing I have a rough time with now is chocolate marshmallow ice cream.
Oh, well, that's
a dilemma. Well, you got to stop that, because you're going to weigh a ton.
And I would suggest you bring it to the radio station immediately.
Not that.
We'll make sure it doesn't go bad. First of all, please, be careful. Do you still work on tall ladders and scaffolding a lot? Or
some, occasions, but I usually get the bucket now. I go out and rent that bucket for about... I think it's $1,500 a week, or $1,500 for 2 weeks. And,
all right. Pass that
on to
your
clients. You
know,
I try and get it for a month, and I strap myself into a bucket a lot now.
Okay, so these are the man lifts we're talking about, the bucket. Is what you're talking about.
Yeah, 60-foot man lift and so forth.
Okay. Well, the other thing, your health insurance company was going to require you to walk around completely enveloped in bubble wrap, so that's not going to happen now that you're using the man lift, so that'll be helpful.
Well, I'll tell you one time about the health insurance is when I fell one time, the hospital couldn't do a thing for me except torture me. I was in the hospital for 27 hours up at Geisinger, and they sent my insurance company a bill for $33,000. And all they did was torture me and give me some meds. So,
I wasn't aware they were in the torture chamber up there.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Al. Thanks for checking in.
Yep, bye.
Appreciate that. Well, and I think, we happen to know Al from seeing him around, and so we make light of it. But the fact of the matter is, people who who legitimately get an opportunity to take an opioid are nervous about taking it. You have to be very cautious, and people are concerned. You know, some people take it less than maybe the prescribed dose because they're afraid of them. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Who wouldn't have some hesitation about taking an opioid for pain? If there was some other option.
We have one more email related to this topic, and we'll look at that when we return. But feel free, join us on the Naloxone comment. You heard Senator Yaw, and we can get comparable remarks from some of our other state representatives that they're in favor of this giveaway because of this life-saving ability. He rejects the enabling remark, and so does one of our callers before him. So there is some studies to show that there is an element of reuse of opioids that's more common when someone has easy access to naloxone. So we can talk about that. All of this germane because the state's given it away. And that doesn't sit well with folks that's like Joe, who say we shouldn't be giving it away. Strings attached should be the bottom line. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. You can do as one individual has done, and that's text us. Joe, you know how to read these upside down. Go
yes,
right ahead.
One of our texters says, anyone that requires naloxone should be billed for the dose used, just as people that use ambulance services are billed. I don't want the needy person to be denied the drug, but I want them to pay for it.
Right. Well, that's sort of where you're headed with this. Another listener on the topic of who's paying for all of this.
Margaret says, I heard one of your callers say something like most users probably are on Medicaid. I hate to surprise him, but it's not only poor folks who use opioids. It goes across all income levels.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about naloxone. Joe says you can give some away for free, but please make other life-saving drugs available at low or no cost for other individuals. And on the naloxone, he wants some strings attached. You heard Senator Yaw talk about
treatment strings.
Right. You heard Senator Yaw talk about what else is happening in Harrisburg and what's already happened related to this. You got an email and a caller. We'll start out with the caller. Jim from Shamokin, thank you so much for dialing. You've been listening to this yelling.
Maybe filing, too. We don't know.
Finally.
Good morning, Mark and Joe.
Good morning, Jim.
And Cindy. And Merry Christmas to all three of you.
Thank you.
Sir, I have lactose intolerance. Also, I have a very bad chocolate allergy, and I have a very bad egg allergy. And I'm also a diabetic, and I use Lantus Solar Star insulin. So, I do get some help, but I really feel like Joe does for that EpiPen. I think at times I almost needed it, but what I have used instead of it was real sour vinegar. And sometimes that'll straighten you out, and other times... I had to go to Geisinger Shamokin.
What, do you drink it?
Real sour vinegar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh. All right.
And that sort of straightens out. It straightens you out some that you don't pass out or go into a coma. But, yeah, I agree with you, Joe, that we should be able to get the EpiPen. And I think that they're, politician from West Virginia, Joe Manchin, I think his daughter was the president of the people that make that EpiPen.
Yeah, she was.
And I think it was $700 or $800 EpiPen.
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah, and they sold them in two packs, so you couldn't just buy one; you had to buy two.
Right.
And they were very, very expensive.
Yes.
And generics are available now?
I don't know.
Well, that's what Cindy said, and I think she's right. I think I did hear a story that there was another manufacturer now, but I don't know how much that lowered the price. Theoretically,
yeah,
competition
either.
Would. But
what I've used was real sour vinegar, and I'm 77, and I never knew about the EpiPen up until a few years ago. And
how long have you known about the sour vinegar?
Well... quite a long time. I read it in one of these here papers or something that the real sour vinegar helps you out, and believe it or not, it does.
Okay.
All right, well, that's a healthy or handy tip. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate your call.
And Merry Christmas to all three of you.
And to you as well.
Thank you so much. Well, Cindy's not actually here.
No.
She just emailed once and called once, so we very much appreciate that. From the newsroom, Matt Cotrillo is telling us that a shooting at a middle school in Indiana left a teenage suspect dead. The Indiana State Police said this morning the school district in Richmond, Indiana, said that all students were safe at Dennis Intermediate School, minus, tragically, the teen individual, the suspect. So that individual is dead, but everybody else is safe at that particular school. We do see traffic gummed up on the Veterans Bridge, only
totally.
For northbounders.
Oh, not totally, but it's backed up off the off the ramp, and it's slow moving, but it's still not back too far up Front Street. It's only backed up maybe 3 blocks.
says PennDOT. Okay, thank you for their version. But for you and I, folks, it's backed up, go through Norrie. And of course, there's heavy volume going through Norrie.
Oh, it's almost to Lombard Street. Almost. It's a Lombard Street.
Okay. Oh, one of our listeners sends us a note, says, I'm wondering if the ambulance that picks up the call for an overdose gets to bill for it. They bill for other calls. They're not exactly free. I'm not nitpicking.
No, she is nitpicking. She says, but I'm nitpicking.
And she says she learns a lot from Joe. Well, I do, too.
Nitpicking, I guess, is what she meant.
Whatever it takes.
You give me a nit and I'll pick it.
How popular is our president?
Well, his approval rating is at 86%.
What? Get out of here.
I love this story because, you know, all these people call in and say, oh, Fox News is a shill for the president. Well, they did a poll, and it's not exactly very favorable for the president. Donald Trump continues to suffer from upside-down job ratings as his second year as president winds down. In addition, views of the economy remain divided when voters feel the administration's economic policies have not helped them, and fewer are optimistic about the future economic conditions than 2 years ago. That's according to Fox News' latest poll. 45% of voters think the economy will be in better shape a year from now, down from 56% who felt that way in December of 2016. Although the question has been asked at irregular intervals on the Fox News poll over the past 20 years, this is the most pessimistic outlook since February of 2001. Currently, 47% say the economy is in excellent or good shape, while 51% call conditions only fair or poor. That's mostly unchanged since January, when it was 49-49. However, it is a significant improvement from when President Trump was first elected, and two-thirds rated the economy negatively.
So are they saying we should credit the president, Trump, or Barack Obama?
No, I think they're saying the President Trump inherited the people who were pessimistic about the economy.
Okay.
His first year, at least, he turned that around. About 1 in 5 voters, 22%, say they have personally been helped by the administration's economic policies. An almost identical 21% say they've been hurt. And while just over half, 51%, say his policies have not made a difference either way for them. Not surprisingly, Republicans are 3 times more likely than Democrats to say the economy will be better next year, and 7 times more likely to say they have been helped by Trump's economic policies.
But if you poll a Democrat and ask them if President Trump's policies have helped them, guess what? They're going to say they didn't.
Well, sure, of course, because politically—
Because of their bias.
Right. They don't want to. Overall, 46% of voters approve of the job Trump is doing, and 52% disapprove. In January, it was 45-53, so he is moving in the right direction. He's up to 46%.
Well, he's far more popular last year than he is this year, but he's still not—
That was in January. It was 45 in favor, 53 opposed. January of this year.
Right. I'm just saying last year he was far more popular.
Okay.
But in any event, he's nowhere near the basement dwelling that some presidents have enjoyed.
And moreover, approval has barely budged all year, staying with a narrow range of 43-47%. Special counsel Robert Mueller does a bit better. Now, ironically, in the other poll that CNN did, Mueller was doing worse than President Trump. I find that fascinating. By a 19-point margin, 56-37%, voters approve of his investigation of the Trump campaign's ties with Russia, and more think the investigation will ultimately strengthen the country, 42%, then weaken it, 34%. A record 48% think the Trump campaign coordinated with the Russians in 2016. 37% believe there was no coordination. That's down 15 points from a high of 52% in June. Still, just over half, 51%, doubt that Mueller will find Trump committed any criminal or impeachable offense.
Mm. That's interesting.
So what do you think about that?
Well, like I said, the president is not as popular as he was this year as he was last year, but nonetheless, he's still doing pretty well. I mean, what, 46% or what did they say, 46 or 48 job approval rating? That's not bad, particularly the type of president he is, you know, where he's, you know, pretty outgoing, and that to decide, of course, alienates, but to announce all your decisions really alienates, you know, to kind of stand up for himself the way he does.
Well, and this kind of ties into what we were talking about today. The top concern to voters is health care. 83% are extremely or very concerned about it. Roughly 3 in 4 are concerned about political divisions within the country, 78%, the opioid crisis, 74%, and the economy, 74%. So the big issues are health care, political divisions within the country, opioid crisis, and the economy.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. What's your view on this, folks? And those polls are made of opinions, not empirical fact, but opinions. What's your opinion? How's the president doing? Is the opioid crisis one of the top issues in the U.S. or not? What do you think about the naloxone distribution? We've got a lot of questions going here.
Here's one you won't like.
Well, we got to take a break.
Okay, well, just let me touch you on this one. Illegal immigration worries 66% of the people in the country, and climate change, only 64%.
And one of them is a real threat and the other one's not. That's strange. We'll be right back.
I decided to write a little song. Here goes. My hometown pharmacy is great because of all these things. Personalized service, friendly employees. They're always glad to see me. They help out my whole family. My grandmom really likes them, and she's super picky. They know me by my nickname. Bet you still can't guess mine. Ha, ha, ha. Pharmacists who care, really low prices and all that other stuff that my mom likes, but I just don't understand. Happy holidays from me, hometown kid, and from everyone at the hometown pharmacies in Bloomsburg, Northumberland, Lewisburg, Mount Pleasant, Mills, Mifflinburg, and Danville. And happy new year. P.S. My nickname is not hometown kid.
Well, this concludes Joe McGranahan's retirement shortened week. We appreciate everybody who's called and disagreed with Joe. The vast majority have agreed with Joe's ultra-conservative, non-life-saving opinions. But nonetheless, we very much appreciate it.
As opposed to your bleeding heart, give away all our money opinions, right?
I don't want to give away any money. No, I don't want to give away any money. Just in the life-saving biz.
Here's the biggest shift since January is a 7-point increase in concern over climate change, mostly driven by a 13-point jump among Republicans. 41% are concerned now, up from 28% at the beginning of the year.
Well, they agree with the president's report that it's having an impact.
Then it says two issues, health care and political divisions, are priorities for both Democrats and Republicans. For Democrats, health care, 90% are concerned. Climate change, 84% concerned. Gun laws, 83% concerned. And political divisions, 82% top the list. So that's what the Democrats are concerned about.
Well, that's an interesting list because that is the list of the things we talk about
for
on
the
this
Republicans,
show.
It's illegal immigration, 86%, health care, 77%, the caravan, 77%, and political divisions, 75%.
Is that still real, the caravan?
Yes. Well, I told you yesterday they want $50,000 to go home.
No. That's like one tiny sliver of the thousands of people.
That's a whole group of them that made demands.
A quirky demand is not what's really happening.
It's the whole group.
No, it's not the whole group.
They voted unanimously to ask for $50,000 or go home.
It's only Joe.
Mark.
Hey, tomorrow.
Satan.
Jeff,
I know you're Satan over there.
Jeff Mann, the Susquehanna University professor, is also a member of clergy, is going to be here tomorrow. His new book talks about when, if ever, is violence justified? We'll talk about that as it relates to war and police. When is violence justified? So he's our guest tomorrow. Ben Reichle will be the co-host, and Jeff Mann's going to join us at the beginning of the show. Then we'll have open phones. I would assure you tomorrow we'll wrap up the naloxone discussion, I would think, anyway. But if you wish to email us in the overnight hours, as some of our listeners do, on the market at KOK.com. Any big plans this weekend?
Yes, babysitting.
Oh, well, lucky you. Well, that's good work if you can get it.
Yeah, all right.
You're a much better grandfather than you were a dad.
Well, how do you know? You're not my son. My son gave me a thing that said I'm the world's best dad years ago.
I was listening to Dave Ramsey the other day. He said almost everybody's a better grandparent than they were a regular parent because you've had all this experience. So, hey, enjoy your weekend, Joe.
Thanks.
We'll see you Monday morning. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. WKOK News Time. It is now 10 o'clock in the morning.